Vande Guru Nisha Bhaktam Visha Misha Bhattarakam Tat Prakasham Satat Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangritam Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodito Gaurav Dwaye Pushpavanto Chitro Sandhoto Vandito Savarana Gaura Mahima Avaran. Avaran means covering, or in this context, the associates. The associates of Lord. This song by Narottam Das Thakur is describing the glories of Gaura along with his associates. So the name is given, Gauranga. So if we see the dictionary, then we find the words Gaura and Anga. Gaura simply means fair, yellow, golden. Let's get the sound adjusted properly so we can not be bothered by that anymore. For future reference, it's good to test it in advance, as they do in professional speaking engagements and all kinds of wherever amplification is required. It's a good idea to do so, because in each place the acoustics is different. So, should be tested in advance. So, Gauranger Dutipada, Gaura. This word means yellow, fair, golden. Anga means body. So, Gauranga means who has a golden body. So this can refer to anyone with a fair body. But it specifically refers to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is his name after accepting sannyas. But the name Gauranga, this is applicable throughout all his pastimes. So, although these words may seem very ordinary, Gaura, Anga, but Gaura, especially when the Gauriya Vaishnavas hear the word Gaura, they don't think of any, just any fair object, but they immediately think of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this name is sacred. Just as the name Krishna is sacred. Krishna can mean black. We find in the Bhagavad Gita the word Krishna refers to the Krishna Paksha, the dark phase of the moon. So in this context, it doesn't refer to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember years ago in Bangladesh seeing the newspaper, and on the front page headline was there, Krishna Divas. So I thought, oh, it's something about Krishna, but it simply meant a black day. It's something bad. I can't remember what the bad thing was. I thought, oh, in a Muslim country, the headline has come, so what is this? But then I said, some black day. I mean, some political something. I can't remember at all. But I just remember seeing that. That Krishna Mriga also refers to the black deer. So, it may simply mean black, but those who are Vaishnav, they will immediately think, Krishna! Oh, this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Gaura, that may refer to anything fair or golden, but the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they prefer to call him by the name Gaura, Gauranga, Gaurahari, Gaurachandra, Gaurachand. All these names are there. So, as in any prayerful activity, in any offering of homage, first of all, the meditation is on the lotus feet. Gaurangera Duti Pada. Homage is offered to the feet. Now, generally we don't think of the, or in Western culture at least, The feet are just something that you put some shoes on and you don't think much about them unless you're an athlete or something like that. But homage is often offered to the lotus feet, considering oneself always below the person who is to be worshipped. Not that we presume ourselves to be on an equal level, but offering homage at the feet means that we consider ourselves below in all respects. This is very good culture, that in Hindu culture or in Buddhist culture, or basically that which is coming from Hindu culture, homage is offered to the feet, bowing down to the feet. In Islam, that is reserved only for Allah. And they resent that anyone else should be bowed down to. They think it's something horrible. Only Allah. But they don't recognize that who is the representative of God, he is also to be worshipped. All Gurujan, all respectable persons, are to be offered homage to. Then what to speak of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Respects are offered to his lotus feet. Now here Narottam Das Thakur says, in humility, offering respects to the lotus feet. Yeah, this is the point, humility. Utter humility. Spiritual life begins with humility. When one is finished with challenging, when one is finished with trying to establish oneself as very great, then he can humbly surrender at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who accepted this process of spiritual advancement, that all other processes, that one should follow varnashram, that one should perform karmakandya activities, that one should advance on the path of jnana, or even Lord Krishna's recommendation, sarvadhaman parityajama mekam sharanam raja ahang tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami mashuchaha, that one should abandon all varieties of dharma and simply surrender to me. And Krishna says, in that circumstance, I will protect you. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Even this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected as external, which is surprising because it's Lord Krishna's ultimate instruction. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects this as external because there's some condition, there's some barter there. That you surrender to me, I'll do this for you. But pure love, or the love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute, is on a completely different platform. That Krishna, I love you not, I want to serve you not for what I get, but simply because you are the master, I am the servant, and you are Krishna, you are all attractive, we are simply attracted to you. We simply wish to serve you. Selfless bhakti, ahaituki, without any personal desire. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach, came to demonstrate. And the devotee is recognizing that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. They take shelter at his lotus feet in all humility. He who accepted, after rejecting even sarvadhaman parityaja, he accepted that jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva, that giving up even the endeavor to understand God by knowledge, one should simply become humble. Jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam, and hear about Krishna from great devotees. So, Narottam Das Thakur says, offering homage at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Gaurangara duti pada jar dhan shampada she jane bhagati rasasha. Who accepts the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his dhan sampad, These two words mean practically the same thing. Wealth, treasure, that sampad, that which is very dear to us. Se jane bhakti rasasha. He knows what is the essence of bhakti ras. So this dhan sampada, what is this? Devotees, they do not aspire after worldly wealth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, nadhanam. He teaches us not to aspire for worldly wealth. But Narottam Das Thakur, he is here pointing out that one who has made the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his wealth and his treasure, he can understand what is bhakti. We cannot have both. Those who are aspiring after material prosperity, material with the prestige that arises from money and power and position, such persons can never enter into the realm of bhakti. Bhakti is for those who are nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadish akamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktira haituki tvai. Again the word comes, a haituki. Those who have no motive, no personal motive in approaching Krishna, Lord Chaitanya himself teaches, who desire neither wealth nor followers, fame, position, women, no aspiration to enjoy the material world in this life or in future lives, who serve Krishna not asking for anything, not even for mukti, liberation from this material world, but who aspire only to serve his lotus feet with no demand, even they may take birth after birth to do so. Such persons with this attitude, who have absolutely nothing to desire in the material world, and nothing to desire even in the spiritual world except service to the Supreme Lord, such persons can place in their hearts the treasure of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Dhana sampada. Money is more pleasing than honey. Money is very dear. People are very attached to money. If people get money, they think this is very good. If they lose their money, they become very disturbed. It has the effect of wealth. Gold, even gold, the substance gold has an almost mystic potency to attract us. We feel, oh, this is, I want this. Has anyone been in the gold souk in Dubai? Apart from myself, yeah. So when you walk there, it's shop after shop, just full of gold. And you can feel the atmosphere. Everyone is just in a mood of wanting, and the gold is very attractive. It invokes the, just being surrounded with so much gold, it invokes the lower desire, lobha, the desire, I should own this. We hear of misers, the Nizam of Hyderabad. He was, at the time, he became de-Nizamized by the, when India was declared independent. He tried to have an independent state, so it was told that he had rooms full of jewels, just like piles of jewels and gold, and he was a miser. He didn't like to spend. He liked to look and see. I have so much gold and jewels. So the feeling, this is mine, I possess it. Feeling of strong attachment to something that is completely useless to him. What is the use of gold, actually? What can you do with it? I mean, you can't eat it. You can't wear it, except, I mean, you can wear jewels, you can wear bangles, but I mean, you can, if it's cold, you can't wear gold. And if it's hot, a bamboo hat would be much more useful in keeping off the sun than a golden hat. A golden hat is just an invitation for someone to snatch it off your head, bang you on the head, kill you and take it away. Gold is very dangerous. that people become attached. I have so much money. What's that verse? Idam ardya maya labdha. Today I have gained so much, the demoniac person thinks. I've got so much money. Becomes greedy, thinking of more and more money. So this greed and attachment, when applied to gold or money, is the cause of the downfall of the living entity, his entanglement in material life. But that attachment, if transferred to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the cause of complete bliss. One who has nothing, but nothing materially, but keeps in his heart the treasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, such a person is actually wealthy. That treasure can never be taken away. And it's a great secret, because the materialists, they won't want to take it away. If you have gold, then you're always in danger, always in anxiety. Someone will take it away. But if we have the treasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, then first of all, no one will want to take it away. No one will want to, and they can't, and then no one can steal it by force. They can, even if someone is against bhakti, of course in this country there's freedom of religion. That's a principle of the American way of life. But in some countries, they may try to forcefully stop you. Don't chant Hare Krishna. But for one who has got that treasure of Gaura Bhakti, then there's nothing anyone can do, neither by threats, nor by bribery, nor by force. No one can take that away. That is the greatest treasure. No one can steal it. It can be given away to those who are worthy recipients. It cannot be forcefully taken, but those who beg for the treasure of bhakti, those who are sincerely desirous of that, that can be transmitted to others. But in doing so, the nature of this treasure is, the more you give away, the more you get. So one should not be a miser. If one has worldly wealth, he's always calculating. If I give it away, then I'll lose. But with Gaura Bhakti, or Krishna Bhakti, same thing. Then, if one tries to distribute, actually one should not think it is my property. One should never think, I have got. It is my property. But one should think, this is a gift from my guru. And in that spirit, pass it on. So one who thinks like this, this is my treasure. In one sense, we realize that this gift of bhakti, it is a gift. It's not our personal property. It's a gift to be shared with all other devotees. But at the same time, if one has this attachment to Krishna consciousness, then that is the attachment that will free us from all mundane attachments. How is that attachment manifested? That is manifested by doing whatever is pleasing to Krishna, doing whatever is required to advance in Krishna consciousness, and avoiding all those things which are counteractive to advancement in Krishna consciousness. So one who is, who sejane bhakati rashasha, one who has understood what is the essence of bhakti ras. What is that essence? Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, Krishnendriya priti vancha dhare premanam. The essence is to understand that any desire conceived of for my own personal sake, for my own sense gratification, that is material desire, lust. But the desire to satisfy Krishna in all respects, even I may be inconvenienced, but let Krishna be happy. That is the essence of bhakti. So, one who has got that, one who has understood what is the value of bhakti, he never wants to give that up. He doesn't make useless statements such as, well, when Krishna wants, then I'll surrender to him. We hear people say like this. We say, why don't you start chanting Hare Krishna? Well, when Krishna wants me to, then I shall do so. Krishna wants you to, but you rascal, you don't want to. You're blaming Krishna. You're blaming Krishna that Krishna didn't tell me. He doesn't want me to. He wants you, he's telling you through Shastra, through devotees, but we're so stubborn, we blame. Yeah, actually I'm ready, but Krishna doesn't want me. Blaming on Krishna. So you become doubly rascal. First of all, you don't want to do, then you blame Krishna. So this is just the opposite of bhakti. Bhakti means no cheating. We don't make excuses. If we're actually serious to make the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu our life and soul, then we don't make compromises. We don't keep attachment to this material world. I'll become a big business professional. I'll have a great career. I'll be famous. I'll have lots of money. One is interested, let me serve Krishna. Life is very short. What shall I do with all this material advancement? All right, you're married, and Narottam Das Thakur says, Grihe bhavanate take hagoranga bhavanate take Narottama mage tarashong. He doesn't say that you have to become a renunciant like him. You may be a householder. But the aim of a Krishna conscious householder is to become rich with love of Krishna. Not rich like the material. He's not like a materialistic person. He's not one foot in each boat. I'll be half a materialist and half. When I'm in the office, most of the time I'm thinking how to become materially advanced, and in between I squeeze a little bhakti, so I get the best of both worlds. But there's no the best of both worlds. The best of the material world is just to forget it altogether. There's nothing good in it whatsoever. And to think that there's anything good in this material world except the opportunity to serve Krishna means that we haven't attained. We don't know what is bhakti rasa sa. So these terms, bhakti rasa sa, we can talk of bhakti rasa and the attaining the treasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, but practically that means that we can't have the treasure of Krishna Bhakti while we're maintaining attachments for any material aspiration. So Narottam Das Thakur, he's telling us that we should, or inspiring us, that we should make, what is it that we desire? If we examine our hearts, what do we want? What do we do? What is our goal in life? If we have no other goal in life than to serve the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the parampara system, then we can understand what is bhakti. Otherwise, that there may be bhakti, but that is not pure bhakti. That is not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show what is bhakti rasa sa, the ecstasy of serving Krishna with no material attachments. So Gaurangera Madhur Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sweet pastimes. The sweet pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sweetness of his pastimes, cannot be appreciated as long as we ourselves are trying to have sweet pastimes in this material world. That is not lila. There is a difference between lila, the activities impelled by the lila shakti of the Supreme Lord, and our attempts to enjoy this material world, which is impelled by the external energy of Krishna. There is a very great difference. Krishna, with all his associates, he sings, he dances, he eats, he plays. In this material world, we also perform so many activities with others. But the difference is that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He is Lila Purushottam. He is the person who is the center and enjoyer of all pastimes. So any activities that are conceived of without reference to serving Krishna, that can never be called lila. Lila pertains to Krishna. The Mayavadis, they say that we are the jiva is performing his lila of becoming a stool-eating hog. He says it's all lila. And in this way insults the Supreme Lord. So lila or pastimes, that is performed by Krishna, and the devotees, they also come under the direction of Krishna's internal potency. Mahatmanas tu mang partha daivin prakritim ashritaha. So the pure devotees, they're also under the shelter of Krishna's internal potency. And devotees who have entered into the internal potency of Krishna by their intense, unalloyed service attitude, they can appreciate the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Very sweet. But those who are not devotees, they cannot appreciate. Those who are not devotees, when they hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will think he is some kind of crazy man, or they don't find, what is, why should we hear about someone singing and dancing and crying? So what? Some years ago, shortly after I published this one book on Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, I presented it to, at that time, young businessman, Indian businessman in Dubai. And he looked at the picture of him looking crazy. He looks crazy. To worldly estimation, he's crazy. Wearing only a kopin, a loincloth, with long matted hair and beard. And he looked at it as if to say, what are you giving this to me for? You could have given me a business magazine or a book about Bill Gates, but what have I got to get from this person? So he said, well, who is he? I said, he's a great devotee. Well, what did he do? Well, actually, Vamshidas didn't do anything of note from the material sense. He lived in a ramshackle hut. So what is a businessman? What have I got to learn from him? What have I got to get from him? I'm living, by my effort, I've made a business. I've built a big house, palace for myself to live in. What did he do? He loved Krishna. The book tells of how he walked from Navadvip to Puri, and he called out to his deities. And that's more or less the whole book, in essence. So what did he do? He loved Krishna. The materialists, they have no link, no understanding, just a blank look on his face, the business. And it doesn't mean anything to him. They have no entrance into this. They have no interest in hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced and laughed and cried and enjoyed sweet exchanges with his devotees. Just like there's one whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, most of it describes how one of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, became angry at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to great effort to prepare sandalwood oil in Bengal and bring it all the way to Puri for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after, it's a lot of effort to collect all the sandalwood. He himself was a renunciate. He didn't have money. That's very expensive. And then to extract oil from it, to keep it in the big pots, to bring it unharmed on the road full of robbers and tax collectors all the way from Bengal to Puri. And then he brought it to Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want this. Don't give it to me. I'm a sannyasi. I can't use sweet-smelling oil. But anyway, it's good that you made it. Now you can offer it to Jagannath in the temple. And Jagannath became very angry and took the pots and outside and smashed them on the floor. So all his effort. He must have taken a few months to make all of that. All the time he was meditating how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be served. He smashed it on the floor. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him then, well, what happened with that oil that you brought? He said, I didn't bring any oil. I didn't make any oil. What are you talking about? And he went and he went to his place and he just lay down angrily and didn't do anything or say anything, just lay down in anger for 3 days without eating or anything. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and said, could you cook for me? And then, okay, I'll come and take lunch with you at midday. So then he came, and Jagadananda fed Mahaprabhu more and more, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always take a little because he's a sannyas, but he was afraid that if I don't take more, Jagadananda will become angry again. So eventually he had to stop. He said that, alright, I already had 10 times more than usual, so now I have to stop. He said, actually your cooking is very good, and when you're angry, your cooking is better. So now you go and take. Now you should eat also. Now I ate, you eat. So eventually he ate, and this is Jagadananda Manabhanjan, we could say, breaking his angry feeling. So when materialists hear this, they think, that's not very interesting. I want to hear a mystery novel, or I want to see some spy movie. It's not very interesting. So someone brought some oil, and he got angry, and then he cooked something. What's interesting about that? They have no entrance into the... What is going on here is the sweet exchange between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Very sweet. This so sweet, the devotees can hear this again and again and again, and take pleasure in hearing that. Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitta Karopan Jaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, hear Chaitanya Charitamrita, or rather he says, drink it, drink this nectar daily, by which one will get the bliss of love of Krishna, Jaha Hoite Prema, and knowledge of what is bhakti, bhakti tattva gyan. Shuyatam, shuyatam, nityam, giyatam, giyatam, muda, chintyatam, chintyatam, bhaktas, chaitanya charitam, itam. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, hear daily, sing in great pleasure, contemplate, dear devotees, this Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita? The sweet pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Gaurangera Madhur Lila Jar Karne Praveshila Hridoy Nirmal Bhalota. That hearing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it means Jar Karne Praveshila, into whose ear that enters. What does this mean? That's a funny way of saying it, isn't it? The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, into whose ear it enters. That's a funny way. Why don't you just say who hears it? What I'm saying, is it entering your ears? Is it entering your ears? Is it entering your ears? Does it enter your ears better when I speak in the mic, or if I speak away from the mic? What do you think? When you speak in the mic, yeah. But here, hearing is said entering the ears. That means you can hear. We hear so many sounds. The kids in the back are chattering. We can hear. But we're not listening to what they say or trying to understand what they say, because presumably it's nonsense. Why should we bother listening? We can hear. Of course, you don't know, they might be incarnations of the four Kumaras and they're talking on the esoteric subject matters of the Vedas. But probably not. So hearing is one thing. But that it should enter the ear, that is something. Enter the ear means vidyate hridaya granthish. If it enters the ear, it should go to the heart, not even to the brain. It should enter the heart, and then hridoy nirmal bhelota, that will cleanse the heart. Bhidyate hridya, that will slash the knots in the heart, the knots of material attachment. So this entering the ear, means not just to, yes. Some, now you're coming to hear something. That's nice, but previously that was like a, there was a custom or tradition in Indian culture that people, sadhu comes, you should sit and listen. Even they'll go daily. You should go and, that's a daily one should hear from the guru. So you'll see people, they'll go and listen, but they just go. Because they think if we sit and listen, that's something good, that's pious. But they don't really listen to what's being said. They don't really try to make it chitete korea oike. They don't really try to understand what's being said and make it one with their heart. They may listen as a kind of entertainment. That is called manoranjan, entertainment. But there's another thing, chittaranjan, that which gives pleasure to the consciousness, not simply on the mental platform. That we shall be, even, I always say, often we find that people expect, they'll come to listen to a sadhu, and they expect it should be some kind of entertainment, pious entertainment. Sadhus are very popular if they tell lots of stories and jokes, and then we go away and we feel very nice. But, just like sometimes, after a lecture, people say to me, that was a very nice lecture. That was a wonderful lecture. So I'll say, it was a nice lecture, wonderful lecture, if there's some change in your life. If it's simply, it was nice, I enjoyed it, then I'm a failure. It wasn't a nice lecture from my perspective. If you thought, that was nice, I enjoyed it, and that's as far as it goes, then I was a failure. I couldn't communicate anything to you. That it's simply you will hear and you think it's nice and you go away. Of course, that's better than thinking that watching TV is nice. But it's simply it's nice, I enjoyed it, then there's no real benefit. But if by hearing we gain a positive inspiration to improve our lives, to become more solid in bhakti, to take up the process of serving Krishna more seriously, then we can say, that was a good lecture. But because we're in the diseased consciousness of thinking that everything is meant for my enjoyment, then we even think Krishna consciousness is meant for our enjoyment. So if the kirtan was nice, I enjoyed it. But the kirtan is not meant for our enjoyment, it's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So, kirtan is nice if it's purifying, not simply by the melody and the beat and the sweet song, the sweet sound. Someone was telling me just yesterday that it's becoming quite popular now in America, kirtan. Not by devotees, by Mayavadis, some disciple of this Neem Karoli Baba who is a complete Mayavadi. And people go to kirtan, they don't hear anything. But they just chant as a kind of mystic therapy, or they feel, it makes them feel relaxed and it makes them feel spiritual. Feel, this is the whole thing, to feel spiritual. No actual spiritual activity of serving Krishna. No question of purification of the heart, but I feel spiritual. And people, they like the kirtans by these demon Mayavadis who pretend to glorify Krishna, but who release some CD with the Maha Mantra with the title, All is One. So they're demons, they're envious of Krishna. They think, I am one with Krishna. But they present that this is kirtan. It's not kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. So if there's any motive for our own enjoyment, either by the speaker or the hearer, and that is not kirtan, or the singers. If the motive is, Krishna should be satisfied, that is kirtan. And by hearing, that means allowing that sound to enter our hearts, allowing the sound to break the attachments within our hearts, then the heart will become purified. So, from the beginning, the attitude has to be, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're interested in service to him. There are different kinds of katha. Here, Narottam Das Thakur is talking about lila katha. But eligibility for hearing lila katha comes from one who hears and accepts seva katha. What is lila? That is Krishna being served by his devotees. That is all that lila, in various ways, the devotees are serving him. And out of love for them, Krishna will reciprocate and he may serve his devotees. Everything is based on service. But if one approaches it with the attitude, how I will enjoy, how I will get some benefit, if one has any interest separate from that of Krishna, then actually has no eligibility, no entrance into that lila. So, seva katha is required to understand that our position is nitya Krishna das. We are the eternal servant of Krishna. When one is fully fixed in understanding this, then he has entrance into lila katha. Then one can actually understand service. We are meant for service. So in one who hears in a service mood, then by hearing, his heart will become purified. Nirmal, Narottam Das Thakur says, free from all contamination. Jai Gauranga Namaloi, who takes the name of Gauranga. Now this is also, it may seem like a roundabout way of chanting the name, but it has a specific meaning. Chanting, anyone can do. Anyone can pronounce the names of Lord. And they're sort of, like we're saying, they're these demon mayavadis who pose as devotees, but they make a show of chanting kirtan, and actually it's very musically attractive. And it may sound blissful and ecstatic. But it's not pleasing to Krishna. It's not kirtan. It's not meant for the glorification of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there's another motive. So, chanting the name of Krishna is not just a matter of vocalizing sounds. But it means Jai Gauranga Naam Loi, who takes the name of Krishna into his heart. Srila Prabhupada always told us that the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. Now, previous acharyas have given various esoteric explanations of the Maha Mantra. But this explanation is the basic explanation by which all other explanations can be understood. By chanting the Maha Mantra, all names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Krishna manifest. If one is in this mood of, please engage me in your service. The other day someone asked me, what is the correct way to pronounce the Hare Krishna Mantra? I told him the correct way to pronounce is by praying, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. Because if you pronounce it very correctly, but one is not in a mood of service, Krishna will not accept that chanting. Whereas even if there is some discrepancy in the pronunciation, but one is in the mood of seriously designed to serve Krishna, Krishna will accept that chanting. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pronounce properly or that we deliberately mispronounce. But the attitude, that is more important than technical correctness. So Jai Gauranga Naam Loi, one who takes the name, one that means we're calling out to Krishna. Ai nanda tanaja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam budho kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vachintaya. This mood of praying to Krishna that I'm fallen in this material world, this horrible material world, this terrible ocean of material existence, but I am your eternal servant, and I'm praying to you to be reinstated as your servant in the dust of your lotus feet. So one who prays like that is actually taking the name of Krishna. We say to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds. But that, of course, in the beginning we're simply aspiring, but the aspiration is to chant 16 rounds of, in a fully prayerful mood, Krishna, engage me in your service. Krishna, engage me in your service. I'm your servant. Engage me in your service. This is called taking the name of Krishna. Taking the name of Gauranga. Jai Gauranga Nam. Jai Gauranga Nam Loi Tar Hoi Premodoy. Then if we actually take the name of Gauranga in this mood, then naturally, prem, love for Krishna will arise. It's a natural development. Prem means this mood, Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Dhare Premana. Prem means the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. And chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra means to ask, please engage me in your service. So the natural consequence of chanting the holy names is that love of Krishna will arise. It follows automatically if we're actually chanting in that mood. But to chant in that mood, we have to hear regularly, constantly, how we are supposed to serve, why we are supposed to serve. Because our tendency in material existence, bad habit, or bad proclivity, since time immemorial, is to think, not that Krishna is the supreme controller, supreme enjoyer, but Ishvaraham. I am the supreme. I am the center. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. This diseased mentality we bring into devotional service, so we think that even bhakti is meant for my enjoyment. That was a good kirtan. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Good kirtan means that we should think how Krishna is enjoying it. If we think I enjoyed it, well, we may enjoy, but as secondary enjoyers, because the spiritual bliss of the mood of serving Krishna has awakened. So, Jai Gauranga Naam Loi Tar Hoi Prema Doi Tare Mui Jai Bali Hari. And I congratulate such a person. Such a person who actually attains love of Krishna by chanting the holy names of Gauranga. Narottam Das Thakur congratulates, you have achieved the actual result of chanting Hare Krishna. The actual result of chanting Hare Krishna is not to be praised by others as a great devotee or recognized as such, but to actually awaken one's love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took Diksha from his guru Ishwarapuri, even though he's the Supreme Lord, to teach us that we require to receive the name of Krishna, knowledge of Krishna, from Guru. He approached Ishwarapuri and was initiated into Krishna Mantra. Now, by initiation into mantra, it is presumed that the mantra will help to make one's mind steady, and one will become very fixed and steady and in the mode of goodness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found that kiba mantra dilo goshai, kiba tar bol japite japite mantra karelam pago. He said just the opposite. What kind of a mantra did you give me? Instead of becoming very peaceful, I became mad. Ishwarapuri said, very good. You have got the actual result of chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Eto Shabhav Jai Jape Tar Krishna Upajai Bhav. The actual result of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra is that one develops love for Krishna, which to external vision makes one seem like a madman. So such a person is to be congratulated. Very good. Gauranga gunerte jure, nitya lila tare sphure. One who is so much affected by hearing about the wonderful qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he weeps in ecstasy. To such a person, the eternal pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna automatically become manifest. Now such tears are not to be imitated, but if by absorption in thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one cries in ecstasy, then by that alone one automatically becomes eligible to participate in the pastimes of Krishna. So, Nitalila Tare Swari Sejan Bhakati Adhikari. Such a person is eligible. He gets the pass, the passport. You are eligible for entering the eternal pastimes of Krishna. One who is deeply absorbed in hearing about and remembering the pastimes and qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the present time, we are absorbed in so many thoughts about our family, job, bank balance, body, bodily health, and so many temporal concerns. But if one can become absorbed in thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then that is the perfection of life. One becomes eligible to enter the fully spiritual pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Now those pastimes, they are conducted with devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they are as fully spiritual as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are fully liberated. They are his eternal associates. One who accepts this, one who accepts that the great devotees, they are on the same level as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By remembering the great devotees, we get the same effect as remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because if we, just like we, when we think of Prabhupada, we cannot but think of Krishna, isn't it? Is it possible to think of Prabhupada and not think of Krishna? For non-devotees who do some academic study, the saint Bhaktivedanta Swami doing a PhD thesis, the sociological impact of his teachings, of his ministration to the disenchanted youth of the 1960s counterculture. You can do a dry, boring, meaningless, useless, completely worthless PhD thesis on the sociological impact by accepting that, by offensively thinking that Bhaktivedanta Swami is some mass of flesh and blood which has come into being by chance, by the evolutionary process, and it crossed the ocean, and this mass of flesh and blood ministered something which he called Krishna consciousness to other lumps of flesh and blood called hippies, and it had some sociological effect. So one can analyze this. But one who understands that Srila Prabhupada is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought the wealth of Krishna Bhakti to the Western world. He, as he said himself, I did not come as a beggar. I didn't come to America to get anything. He was not enthralled. I'm going to America. I got my American visa. Now I'm going to go and make lots of money and become wealthy and prestigious and enjoy myself. Life's wonderful, everything's great in America. He had no such thoughts. When he first arrived, he wrote about America, this horrible place, Ugrasthan. Why have you brought me here, Krishna? I guess you have some purpose. All right, let me do that. That purpose is to give them knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he didn't come to take anything. He had absolutely no mundane motive. But he simply wanted to give Krishna consciousness. He was so rich He appeared to be like a poor Swami with only 40 rupees in his pocket, but he had the whole wealth of the spiritual world, which he distributed. He is a great associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who can see, those who can understand what is the position of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are as liberated as he. Srila Prabhupada, from external vision, he was a failed businessman who had nothing better to do, so he became a sadhu. You could think like that. Anyone who thinks like that is a rascal. He is a pure devotee of Krishna. It's not a joke. They are a rascal. I'm not making a joke. They are simply rascals. So one who understands that he came to this world specifically to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an internally liberated associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all the great devotees. Srinivas, Srivas Thakur, Haridas, Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So many great devotees. Their names are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, one who accepts this and understands this, such a person, simply by accepting this, they go to Krishna. Because they are taken. Prabhupada will take us. How can we go to Krishna? We are very fallen and lowly. But if we accept, he is a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me try to serve him. If he is pleased with me, he will take me to Krishna. So with this faith, with this understanding, who is this? Who are these devotees? They're not ordinary people. The great disease of mundaners is that they think everything is mundane. They think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mundane and they have no interest in him, or they do PhD thesis on him as a, maybe he had epilepsy and therefore he was falling on the ground, describes him falling on the ground, foaming at the mouth, and they think, well, maybe this is epilepsy. Rascals. They don't understand. This is his pure devotional ecstasy. So one who has this faith that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates are, they're not of this world. They are from a different platform. They're from the spiritual platform of pure ecstasy. They've come to bring us to that platform, to introduce us to that platform, to show us. Parastasmatu bhava neo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. That beyond this material world where there's building of big skyscrapers and then they fall down after some time, birth, growth, old age, death, beyond this material existence, the whole universe is created and again destroyed. They made a big fuss when the Twin Towers came tumbling down. They don't know the whole universe is going to be destroyed. What to speak of two buildings? They should be afraid. Now they're afraid of terrorists. They're afraid. Why be afraid of terrorists? Terrorists means they want to kill you, but anyway you're going to die. Terrorists or no terrorists. So get free from this material existence. Go to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring us to Krishna. His associates come to bring us to Krishna by the simple process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. That has to be done with the faith that this, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this materialistic existence is no better than a hole into which people pass stool. Nowadays we have modern flush toilets. So you pass and you flush, but in the villages, at least until recently in India, they have some kind of place people pass stool, and the collective stool for several days, it makes quite a spectacular smell. It's not relishable at all, except to the flies. I mean, millions of flies and maggots. So this is what material life is like. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us the sweetness of the spiritual world, but as long as we, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own analogy, desire to be flies crawling around in the stool of material existence, then the sweetness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that cannot be appreciated. The flies, they do not try to find out something. The bees, they find out the sweet flowers. And the flies, they find out the stinking stool. So we have to choose. Will we be a fly or will we be a bee? Shall we take the nectar? We cannot be both. Those who have faith in the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that yes, this is a person from the spiritual world, he doesn't belong to the material world, they can be carried by the mercy of such devotees to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jane Chintamani Sejai Prajendra Bhumi Bhas. Who knows that the spiritual land of West Bengal, called Gaura, not Gaura, Gaura in Gauriya terminology, who knows this to be fully spiritual, just like Vrindavan Dham. Such persons, they actually live in Vrindavan Dham. Now here, the word is used, Jeba Jane, those who know it to be. Those who know means they don't doubt. Those who see that this land is the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. If we see West Bengal, nowadays we'll see so many factories and roads, but actually that is the pastime place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is spiritual, paramarthik Bharat. We are not interested in India becoming a superpower, industrial force. We're not interested in this. We're interested in Vrindavan, Dwaraka, Ayodhya, the places of the Supreme Lord's pastimes. This is the India we are interested in. The factories, that you'll find everywhere, all over the world. Srila Prabhupada said that factories are dungeons for demons. It is a great misfortune to be working in a factory. Modern India, they think they're becoming very advanced by having factories. But that kills all the spiritual proclivities, to be in some dark, noisy place, dirty, so much noise of machines, turning out mostly some useless products which people don't need. You get a washing machine to save time, but then to pay for it, the wife has to go to work. She has a washing machine and a mixie, and then the TV she can watch when she's at home, but she's not at home because she's out working, because you need two salaries to pay for all the things which you need. But if you didn't need all these things, then the wife could stay at home and look after the children instead of them coming home to watch the TV and watch all, you know, violence and get on the internet and see pornography when they're only 10 years old. So it's all mixed up, upside down, muddled society in which they think you need all these things. And therefore the husband and wife, they both should go to work. And maybe the husband even lives in a different city to the wife, and it's completely insane society. So this India, we're not interested in. The Western people are coming to India not looking, oh, what a wonderful factory. What wonderful Maruti car, how wonderful. Now they have Ford car. Ford. Is Ford in Detroit? Yeah, it must be in Detroit, right? Now Ford is in Chennai, or just outside it. Great advancement. What advancement? That same road, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to walk. The roads, now they're full up with cars. Previously on the roads, there weren't much roads, but people, who would go? Merchants would go. Not much. They'd walk up and down. Not many merchants. Because mostly people, whatever they had in the village, that was sufficient. They don't need to import, anything from anywhere. You don't have to make something in a factory and then send it from Chennai to Mumbai or anything. No need. Everything is produced in the village, and some things which are more rare, they're not, maybe in the village, it's a small village, so they don't have a blacksmith. So some merchants will go around to this, they'll bring some, like this, some pots, or one pot, one karai, that will last for 10 years or so. So you don't need, not much merchandising required. Otherwise the roads, who goes on the roads? The pilgrims go. They'll be walking to see the various holy places. So this India, this spiritual India, this spiritual culture, that is required to be revived. It's with Indian people think it's wonderful, India is becoming materially developed, but what is the value? You have big factories and then you forget Krishna. What's the value? Better you live simply and remember Krishna. That was Prabhupada's program. Prabhupada, what was his response to the industrialization? Just forget it. Live on the farm, live simply. You don't need all these things. You simply become entangled in unnecessary hard work. Live simply and chant Hare Krishna. Don't get born again. You're so busy filling up, getting big houses, filling them up with useless things, paying the bills. We've placed ourselves in debt for the next 30 years. Just forget it. Chant Hare Krishna, live simply. Of course, most people can't imagine this. If we say, yes, you work hard, have a good career, earn lots of money, and also chant Hare Krishna, people say, oh, that's very good, I like that. But we have to consider that all this working hard means we have to put our attention, our dedication to something which is external to our real self-interest. As much as we're not remembering Krishna, that much we are spoiling our life. Often devotees ask, oh, well, how can we think of Krishna when we're at work? Don't ask your boss that. He doesn't want you to think of Krishna. If you're going to work, you have to think of everything else except Krishna. Or not everything else, specifically the job you've been done. So that can be Krishna eyes. But that's not ideal. Ideal is to live in an atmosphere where even while working, we're not saying stop work, but just like plowing the fields. Previously, in India, people would plow the fields doing what? Kirtan, as they plow. Or they would thresh the rice while doing kirtan. The boatman would cross the river singing of Krishna. There's no social bar on that. In your office, if you start chanting Hare Krishna, then you'll get fired. You'll get thrown out. So Srila Prabhupada had a vision to create devotional societies where people can live simply and remember Krishna. So here the point is being made that the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they're as good as Vrindavan, and one who knows this, they already live in Vrindavan. And actually, in some ways, the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically Navadvip Dham, Mayapur Dham, that is more helpful to us even than Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan Dham, there are many offenses to be considered. Here there's a photograph of Srila Prabhupada offering arati at the inauguration of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. So everyone please go to Vrindavan and have darshan at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Who's been to Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan? I've also been. Yeah. Actually, the system is Srila Prabhupada inaugurated. First you go to Mayapur, get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then go to Vrindavan. Who's been to Mayapur? Yeah. So, Mayapur is our home. Detroit is not our home. Gaura Prema Rasharnabe means in the ocean of the rasa, of love of Gaura. Shetarange Jiva Dube, who becomes immersed in the waves of that ocean. Shri Radha Madhav Antaranga. Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela are fully interlinked. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's in the mood of Radharani, always thinking of Krishna, always wanting to serve Krishna, always wanting to meet Krishna. So he is giving Krishna. So one who is absorbed in thoughts of the sweetness and beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then automatically they become dear to Radha and Krishna. Grihe babo nete take. In whatever situation we may be, whether we are renunciants or family people, ha goranga valer dake, who calls out the name of Goranga. Narottam Das, who himself was a renunciant, he desires the association of such a person. So the association of married people who are attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is far preferable to that of great renounced sannyasis who have no interest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the sannyasis, they renounce this world, what for? So they can become free from material existence. But they are not, if they're not devotional sannyasis, if they're Mayavadi sannyasis, then they renounce this world, but they don't have attachment for Krishna. Then what is the use? What is the point? It's just another phase of their own personal desire. That I have seen this world is full of suffering, I want to be free from suffering. But the positive point is to develop our love for Krishna, which is possible in this age, especially by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra under the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. So even one is in family life. Generally in family life it's thought that one is attached to this material world. But if one is chanting Hare Krishna and seriously aspiring to follow the path given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then even one is living in family life, if one is seriously cultivating bhakti sadhana, then he will see that all these material attachments, they're simply ephemeral. My real life is with Krishna. So such a person, even though appearing materially attached, is attached to Krishna. Such a person is a sadhu. Of course, getting free from material attachments isn't such an easy thing. But those who seriously practice Krishna consciousness, those who take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they can advance in bhakti. They can become absorbed in love of Krishna. That is the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, which is being described by Narottam Das Thakur. Of course, this could be described in a much more elaborate manner. Even to describe about the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many hours, many days, many lifetimes could go in that. But briefly, as an overview, we presented how Narottam Das Thakur, in his own personal ecstasy of love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has in this song recommended to us and guided us to take shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People in India, generally they know about Krishna, something. Even some mistaken conception may be there, but they have some general idea. But they don't know much about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we want that everyone should know, not only in India, but all over the world. It's a very great moment in history. Why is that? because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. It is a great opportunity. Everyone can take to the chanting of Hare Krishna and become completely purified. But people don't know. Those who do know, they should distribute this knowledge to others. I composed one small book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with an overview of his pastimes and teachings. That's in English, but the idea was, well, for the West also, but specifically for distribution in India. And that's been now published in Telugu. Thank you, Madhav Gopinath Das, for help provided in this regard. And in Tamil, and Hindi, and Gujarati, and it's coming in other languages also. If anyone would like to help translating in other languages, please let me know. So as followers of Srila Prabhupada, it is that we sing every day, Ebejas Gushak Chibhuvan. People should know. His glories, they should be spread. People know about film stars, they know about sports stars, politicians, all these useless people. Well, we can laugh, but it's not a joke. Actually, they are useless. It's worse than useless. To learn about politicians, to fill up our minds with what they're doing, where they're going, what they're saying, it simply pollutes our consciousness. Instead, if we hear about Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their devotees, that will purify our consciousness. So people spoil their lives by filling up their minds with, there's so much information available about worse than useless people who are simply full of lust and greed. By hearing about them, our own lust and greed will increase. But by hearing about Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna, and their great devotees, we will be freed from lust and greed, and pure Krishna consciousness will arise in our hearts. Therefore, there is a tremendous need for disseminating this literature. Srila Prabhupada wanted his books distributed. Now some of you have become steady in Krishna consciousness. You should know that Srila Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to take part in the distribution of the divine literature which he has produced, so that others can also, people who don't know about Krishna, lokasya janato vidvans, people don't know. What don't they know? That, what is that? Bhakti Yoga Matoshaji. Bhakti Yoga, what's the first line of that verse? Bhakti Yoga Mat Hoksa Jay. I can't remember. Anyway, the purport of the verse is that people don't know that by performing bhakti, pure devotional service, to the transcendent Lord.
Oh, Vasudeva Bhagavati.
No, that's another verse. They can be anarto pasamang sakshat. That's it. What is it? Anarto pasamang sakshat bhakti yogam adhosaja. Lokasya janato vidvams chakre sattvata samhita. People can be freed from all the unwanted disturbances in their lives by performing devotional service to Krishna. But people don't know this. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated these books and presented so many books. And he wanted these distributed. So, the devotees in Seattle, Madhav Gopinath Prabhu has come from Seattle. They've got into this. They're going out in their spare time, going out and distributing Prabhupada's books to the public. There's a big fair in Seattle tomorrow. Ved Narayan Prabhu, who was with me, so enthusiastic. He was traveling with me in the plane, in the airports. He was distributing books on the planes. He was distributing books. He's so enthusiastic to distribute knowledge of Krishna consciousness to others. So by doing this, by distributing knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we get it. That is a secret. Often devotees ask, how can we advance in Krishna consciousness? So there are many answers to this question, but one answer is that by distributing the mercy, we get the mercy. So this book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is some endeavor to educate people about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even our own devotees, they mostly don't know so much about it. So at least this book, if people read it, often then they think, now I have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. The inspiration comes, which is a big work. But all devotees are required to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, and all the books of Srila Prabhupada. We have a lot of reading to do. A lot of reading to do, a lot of service to do, a lot of chanting to do, a lot of preaching to do. We have busy lives in Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't waste any time. Alright, talking about time, I'll finish there. What is the beginning of bhakti? Well, from one perspective, it's Mangalarti. It's the beginning of every day. Rise early. So that we can rise early, it's better that we rest early. Therefore, I'll finish this lecture here. And if there are any questions, you could kindly ask them now. Okay, you got it.
Yeah, you mentioned Shloka from Gita. Sarvadharman Paritrajan.
Yeah. Famous Shloka.
What does Sarvadharman mean there? Is it like
I just gave a whole lecture on this.
Is it like
you can get it from my website soon, I hope. How actually it's not, in one sense it's not possible to give up all dharmas, because it's the very nature of the soul cannot be separated from dharma. But we have to understand what is the actual dharma of the soul, to serve Krishna. So all dharma except that of service to Krishna has to be given up. The idea that I will perform my duties in this material world, that is my aim of life, without reference to serving Krishna, or I'll become liberated from this material world without reference to Krishna. These are all external considerations of the soul. The only actual dharma of the soul is to serve Krishna. Now, we're in this world, so we have bodies, we have to feed them and clothe them, we have social responsibilities and so on. But if these are done without surrender to Krishna, then that is the cause of our material bondage. So to give up the idea that I belong to this material world, I have my existence, $100 fine. We should make a rule, $100 fine. If your cell phone goes off, $100 fine. And we'll give you books in return. It's a good system. Seriously, it can be ensued. Maybe not $100, maybe $20. Put a sign. I twice mentioned Dubai, I mentioned a third time. In the satsang of the devotees there, they made a fine. Anyone's cell phone goes off, they have a 100 dirham fine. How much is that? Anyone know? It's about 1300 rupees. I guess it's about $25 something. $20 fine. So yeah, give a fine and then use it for Krishna's service. Put a sign on the door and enforce it. Because it is disturbing, isn't it? Should have the presence of mind to turn it off while they're here. So, sarvadharman means give up all activities not related to Krishna. But that doesn't mean, the body has to go and we have social interactions. Arjuna, after agreeing to surrender to Krishna, he went on with his social duty of fighting, but he didn't do it as a social duty, he did it as a service to Krishna. As I said, I just gave a lecture on that, and presumably, it might be uploaded to my website if they can catch up, if they can keep up with all the lectures. They can't. There are many points to be considered. There's great depth to this Vaishnava philosophy, to understand it in all the details. That's why we have to hear a lot. Philosophical understanding is very important. We have to hear a lot, study Bhagavad Gita, all these books. What are the relations of the different dharmas? You see, there's Varnashram dharma. Ultimately, that is to be transcended and to understand that I'm an internal servant of Krishna. So I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmacharya, I'm not a Grihastha. But still, as long as one lives in this world, unless one is like Vamsidas Babaji, who has no connection with this world, one has to act within it. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is fully absorbed in love of Krishna, externally took the position of a sannyasi and executed sannyasi dharma. He didn't want to take the scented oil from Jagadananda Pandit because he thought, as a sannyasi, that's not proper. Now you may think, well, he's Bhagawan and his devotee is offering him the oil out of love, out of bhakti. But he refused to accept it because on the Varnashram consideration, which is external to bhakti. But he took the role that I've taken the position of a sannyasi, and if I don't follow that properly, then others will take advantage and misuse the role of a sannyasi. So a devotee is not a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra or whatever. He's surrendered to, an actual devotee is surrendered to Krishna. But he may take a role in society to teach others how to, who have not come to that platform, to live responsibly. Then another consideration is that most devotees don't immediately come to the platform of full surrender. So they need to act in society, they need to live in society, they're not ready for full renunciation. So they have to act in society. So how should they act? They should act according to Varnashram rules. That is the social system meant for purification. Now there is a widely spread misconception that just by putting on some tilak and saying, I'm a devotee, one automatically transcends Varnashram. But that's not correct. That then we don't need Varnashram roles because we're all devotees. But we're not all pure devotees. And even the pure devotees, they, to a large extent, operated according to Varnashram roles. Because that social system is the best for cultivating Krishna consciousness in this world. So there are many misunderstandings. Just like after coming to ISKCON, you might start calling women Prabhu, which in India you couldn't imagine because it's a male term. But it sounds funny, doesn't it? Calling women Prabhu. But the Shastric or the Vedic Varnashram system is to call Mata, Mother. But in the West, you know, the mothers, they're divorced 5 times and they have so many boyfriends and no one respects their mothers. So no one wants to, mother has no meaning in the West. But to call Mata in Indian culture is very respectful, isn't it? So sometimes misunderstandings are introduced due to lack of understanding of these principles. Any other question?
Maharaj, when you were talking about if your lecture is successful, if the devotees that are hearing the lecture or hear Sadhu's lecture, their lives change.
At least there should be incremental change. We don't expect immediate overnight change, but there should be something, yes. should change things. Yes, I should be more serious in bhakti. Yes, I should surrender more. There should be, maybe incremental, or it may just at least it should reinforce the commitment which is there. The point is, it's meant for our devotional advancement. It's not meant for our entertainment. And often, devotees, it seems to me that they think that the lecture is some kind of, you know, pious entertainment or something. It's actually meant for purification.
Well, the easy thing is, when you're here or sadhu's here, and we hear the naturally material desires.
Speak in the mind.
Material desires, let's say, so they cease, or they apparently go away for some time, or they're reduced. But after some time, when a sadhu's away from us, then the desires become stronger again.
Then don't be away from sadhus. Or you be a sadhu. Give strength to others.
Thank you.
You can always be linked by the commitment to follow. Actually, if we even once hear properly, then we'll be fully linked. But generally that is it. We have to hear regularly. By the degradation of modern society, the number of real sadhus is less. Previously it used to be that there were so many sadhus, at least in India, real sadhus. Even family people, they were so pious. But by the degradation of modern society, now sadhus are less. But one thing modern society does offer is, you can get books and recorded lectures. So in this way, you can associate with sadhus also. And in that regard, on Srila Prabhupada's order, I've written books. I have to write more books. You want to show the books? And devotees are telling me that they're getting benefit from reading these books. It's helping them in their Krishna consciousness. So we have books available here in English, Hindi, Gujarati, Russian, Korean.